Hail, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have coming on the line Cheryl Hancock, and we're going to be talking about what's going on over in Israel today. And, you know, this is really an exciting place to visit, but Cheryl actually lives there. Cheryl has gone over as a missionary, just gone out on faith, and she's been there for 5 or 6 years now, maybe 7 years. And she, of course, ministers to the Israeli people about our Lord. She talks to the Palestinians about our Lord, and she's supported by people who honestly believe we need somebody over there, keeping us abreast of what's going on. And if you really study what's happening over in Israel today, you will think that most of the Israelis think that Israel is very soon going to be at war with Iran, and many people actually believe this is going to be within the next few months. And if that were to occur, this could be a precursor to a massive expansion of the war in the Middle East. And I believe this is exactly what is being planned today. I believe that they're planning. If you read the material put out by the Project for the New American Century, you'll find that they've really planned to go to war with Syria. They plan to go to war with Iran. If they cannot change those governments to go along and put their people into those positions, they're going to simply go to war with those countries and topple them. And, you know, of course, Syria might not be too difficult to topple. It's not that large a country. But Iran is a very, very large country with a very sophisticated military, and it does have nuclear weapons. It probably has about 15 nuclear weapons. They've had them for some time. These are ones they purchased on the open market. But, you know, certainly Syria has all of Saddam Hussein's chemical and biological weapons. Now, when the president gets up and says, "Oh, shucks, we had intelligence saying that Saddam had chemical and biological weapons, but we were wrong," he is not being forthright. Now, maybe he doesn't know, but they moved Saddam's chemical and biological weapons predominantly into Syria, and they're hidden in underground caves. We have that information from Joel Skousen, from Avi Lifkin, from Dor Gold, who was the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, and recently the assistant chief of Israeli intelligence within the last few weeks has admitted that those weapons of mass destruction, the chemical and biological weapons that Saddam Hussein built with material he got from the United States, are sequestered in Syria. And if we do go to war with Syria, you can be sure those will be brought out. And well, I fear for what's going to happen in the Middle East. And the average American has no idea. We're sitting on the edge of a powder keg. The fuse is burning, and everybody's going on as if life is going to go on forever. Well, I think we're moving into very tumultuous times. I believe that they really began with the advent of the new millennium as we move from the age of Aquarius into the age of the age of Pisces and the age of Aquarius, the age of Aquarius and the age of Pisces. I can't quite remember which one it is, but I do believe we're in for some very, very difficult times. And our job is to act as a warning, to urge you to begin to become prepared, to look after yourself, because, of course, if there is a nuclear war, and this could very well be a nuclear war that would be coming in the Middle East, if not this year, then next year, why things would be changing forever. Well, right now we have with us on the line Cheryl Hancock. Cheryl, how are you this afternoon?
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you very much for being with us. And when did you get back from Israel?
I actually got back in late November.
All right. And when are you going back again?
I'm going back in March.
All right. And did you ever be able to use that that letter we sent you as a representative of our radio station?
Yeah, I have my press credentials in Jerusalem.
All right, fine. So I'm glad for that, and I hope that they'll help you. But now, Chris, when we talked before, you'd mentioned something about many people over in Israel really fear that that there will be a war with Iran. Is that true?
Yeah, that's the word on the street, and actually in the news also. Actually, both Ariel Sharon and Bibi Netanyahu said that Iran will be ready in about 3 months, and they could actually strike Israel or Eastern Europe, and they don't think that they could tolerate nuclear Iran.
And so what they're really telling, and are they really then getting the Israeli people ready for a war?
Well, I think it's still in the discussion phase, and so, but some bad things are coming out of Iran. The president is still talking about wiping Israel off the map, and he said that Israel is actually a tumor in the Islamic world. And then he said, well, maybe Israel should just be moved over to Europe or America or Canada, but he doesn't want Israel there, so they are a threat. They're an imminent threat to Israel, and they're deciding what to do now. And you know there's an election coming up in March.
Right. All right, what's going to happen in that election? Will Sharon be elected on the third party? Will Netanyahu become the new prime minister? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, right now, Netanyahu is ahead, and he's with the Likud, of course, and Sharon has his own party, the Kadima, but they're both saying the same thing about Iran, which is very interesting. But we don't know what's going to happen yet. Of course, Sharon had some health issues lately. And health problems, and they want somebody very strong in office because they know they're going to have a tough year ahead here.
All right, fine. Well, certainly if Israel were to attack Iran, wouldn't that bring the wrath of the entire Muslim world down on Israel?
Yeah, well, that's a problem. And also, if the EU or if America or anyone else does not side with Israel on going in there and attacking the nuclear plant, they're not talking about attacking the people in Iran. They're talking about attacking the nuclear power plants so they can't harm Israel or Eastern Europe. But if the European community or the rest of the world is not together with Israel on this, or anyone is not together with them, it could actually bring the world against Israel. Not only the Islamic community already will be against them for attacking Iran. That's a given.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Cheryl Hancock. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Cheryl Hancock, and Cheryl is a missionary. She lives over in Israel. Of course, she's over there ostensibly just educating and doing all those things, because they don't necessarily like missionaries over there, but she's over there, of course, spreading the gospel and helping people and trying to reach the Palestinians and trying to reach the Jewish people there as well. Is there a growing component, do you think, of Messianic Jews over there in Israel today?
Yeah, actually, it's what they call a new phenomenon over there, and many many Jewish people are turning to the Lord. Well, the hope is very, very small. There's not much to hope in right now because there's so many problems. So people are reaching up, and a lot of people are reaching up to the Lord, finding the Lord. And the Messianics, the people that believe the Messiah has come in Jesus Christ, that believe in Jesus, Yeshua, they are actually coming out of the closet now. So the ones that were in hiding and not telling their family or their friends are now telling them. And so those people either push them away completely or they receive the Lord also. So it is a growing number now. And also these Messianics that are coming out of the closet and telling other people are being attacked. I mean, their stores are being burnt down, they're being physically attacked, or rocks thrown at their children's windows. And I mean, just terrible things are happening, but it's not slowing them down.
Well, you know, Chris, I have heard this from several sources, that many times the Jewish people who do convert to Christianity almost have like a personal relationship or encounter with Jesus Christ. It's almost I've heard this story enough times to really put some credence in it, that they almost they see an apparition. Have you ever heard that story?
Yeah, actually, you know, it was hard for me to believe these things too until I talked to the people personally, and it's not happening only on the Jewish side, but it's also happening to Muslims. It's like the Lord is coming to them in dreams. And one guy I talked with in particular was, he said he was very sick, very ill, and Jesus came to him in a dream and said, when you wake up, you're going to be well, and you're going to know because of that I am the Messiah. And he woke up, and he was well. Then he went and he told everybody about it. He became a believer, and he actually went to Germany to a Bible college, and now he's back in Israel telling everybody about the Lord.
I mean, I think that these are amazing times, and this is a story that I'm glad you confirmed, because I've had it confirmed. In fact, my best friend was telling me that his in-laws are actually Jewish. He himself is an evangelical Christian, but his in-laws are Jewish, and their brother has become a Messianic Jew. Of course, well, there's a family reunion there down there. Of course, there are the Gentiles and the Jews, and then the Messianic Jew comes over and talks to them, and he's had one of these personal encounters, and you know, he's just so turned on for the Lord.
Yeah, once they have an encounter and they tell their family, there's no denying it. You can see it in the person's face. But also, when we talk to the Jewish people about the Lord, we tell them, first of all, Jesus was Jewish, and we all need to remember that. He was a Jewish, you know, person that came on the earth here. And when they leave, when they become Christians, they don't leave their Judaism. They just receive the Messiah, that he has come. They receive that Yeshua, Jesus, really was the Messiah and has come for them. And so it's not changing anything as far as converting and leaving their religion and going to Christianity, but they're a believing Jew. And so that's why we call them Messianic Jews.
And I think really what's so exciting is that at this time in history, as everything begins pointing to the fact that there are going to be some momentous changes and momentous events in the next couple of years in the Holy Land and in the surrounding areas, and as I really believe that there is an increasingly a move towards war over there, which will, of course, be carried over into the United States, as these things are beginning to unfold, why more and more Jews are actually having these religious experiences and coming to accept the Lord. Have other people over there commented on this as well?
Well, yeah, and a lot of the people, I know people that are Messianic Jews over there that have been under persecution. Like I said, some of their buildings have been burnt down, and they're actually attacked by a certain group of ultra-Orthodox Jews. And as the other Jewish people around the neighborhoods see this, some of them have become believers because they said, I can't believe people are acting like this. What is so important about this? So they look into it, and then they become believers. So actually, it's not pushing people away, the persecution, but it's making people come and receive the Lord.
And, you know, an awful lot of the people over there, the Jewish people, really are not really, you know, even Torah-believing Jews. Aren't a lot of them atheist Jews?
Yeah, there's many more atheists than we can believe over there. But these are people that are more open, because if they're ultra-Orthodox or ultra-religious, they're hanging on to that, just like the religious would here in America. But if you go to a secular person, they're searching. And a lot of these kids, when they get out of school, you know, they do 2 or 3 years in the army, and then they take a year off usually, and they go search the world. A lot of them go to India, and they're looking for God. And so when you go up and you tell them about your God, and they're open to listen, everyone's open to listen to hear, and then they're interested, and then they start reading and learning, and they're very open.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you're over there, and that you're actually, of course, helping to reach the people. When will you be going back again?
I'll be going back in March, and that's just because I have a big speaking tour to do here in the Western United States.
Well, I think that it's important that you get the message out here, but I think probably what you're doing over there is ever so much more important. Now, as far as you see this things unfolding over there, and we were talking a little bit earlier about this belief on the part of many Israelis that certainly within the next few months, we're talking, I think, about March, that there may very well be an Israeli strike on Iran, but this would be a very limited action, trying to take out their places where they're breeding their uranium there, they're building or getting the plutonium. Mm-hmm. And do you think that the Americans will back them on that? Or?
Well, I certainly hope so, because once America doesn't back Israel, you know, in the Bible it says that all nations will come against Israel, and that would be a perfect opportunity if America doesn't back them on it. But America has to be careful about the EU and other people that won't back America on certain decisions. So all this political stuff that goes on that we don't know about, there's a lot happening there. But Israel has to protect herself. And actually, Israel is losing so much territory right now, giving it to the Palestinians, that they are shooting missiles. You know where the people left from Gaza Strip? Remember all those Jewish people had to leave?
Right.
And they left beautiful greenhouses and homes, and the Palestinian people had an opportunity to use those things and build on those. Instead, I heard today that they're using that area as launching pads to fire missiles into Israel.
Right, and of course there's increasing uncertainty over there. Now, of course, from the point of view of the Palestinians, though, certainly if you're a Palestinian, you're really sort of caught in the middle. If you're a Palestinian Christian, you're in real trouble because you're not accepted by the Palestinians, you're not accepted by the Jews, and isn't there tremendous persecution of the Palestinian Christians?
Yeah, we have two groups of Palestinian Christians over there. One is the Orthodox, which you have the Greek Orthodox, Syrian Orthodox, Catholic, and then you have the born-again believers that are Palestinian. I just talked to a friend of mine who lives in Bethlehem a couple days ago, and he said he was doing the Christmas celebration in Bethlehem. There were 500,000? Ooh, I'm sorry, maybe it was 50,000 worshipers that came into Bethlehem for Christmas and from around the world. But mostly, instead of the Arab Christians walking down with the parade and going to the celebrations, it was Muslims. And it pushed the Christians out. He said it became a Muslim celebration instead of a Christian celebration. And so he ended up going home. So the Muslims are pushing the Christian people out of Bethlehem, the ones that have grown up there. He's grown up there all his life. And it used to be a large percentage of Christians in Bethlehem. And now
they were Christian Palestinians.
Exactly.
And my understanding is they really sort of bought them out, almost gave them an offer they couldn't refuse.
Well, the people that I know are actually being persecuted by the Muslims that are there living in their neighborhood. Not being beat up or things like this, but actually there's a lot of fighting going on and a lot of problems with the children in school and all that. So they're pushing them out. The people are wanting to leave, the Christians.
But then where do they go? I mean, they're certainly not welcome in Israel. They almost have to leave their native land, don't they?
Yeah, some of them actually go to other towns in Israel that are mainly Arab towns, but a lot of them leave Israel completely and go to Canada or Australia or America.
And of course, these are, you know, they're really very warm people, and they're caught between, you know, between the two conflicting cultures and between the two conflicting races, even though they themselves are Christians. And yet, of course, Christians are not that welcome in Israel, are they?
Well, no. No, as a matter of fact, Christians are not, because they're afraid that the Christians are coming to convert the Jews into Christians. But the ones that I've been working with recently are Palestinian born-again believers, and these are Arabs that were Muslims and have become believers, Christians, and because of that, they're persecuted by the Palestinian Authority, by Hamas, by their people. So some of them have to hide in Israel proper in order to have safety, because even their family members will kill them. Turn on them, because it's a dishonor for them to trade religions, to leave Islam. They call them traitors to Islam. So some of these people are in hiding that I'm working with, and we're trying to help them to get on their feet and teach them, of course, about the Lord and bring them up in the Lord. And I talked to one today, and it was so exciting, because he said now he's going into the stores telling people about the Lord, and he led a man to the Lord, an Arab man in Israel proper, to the Lord in his store. These people are hungry to know the Lord.
And, of course, I think we're going to see tremendous things happening over in Israel. Here in America, why we really, a lot of people don't even feel that they need the Lord. Over there, everything is at a crisis. I mean, they're maybe on the verge of, you know, of an attack from the other, from the surrounding Muslim countries. Certainly, if Israel does attack Iran, and I think it's only a matter of time before they do, you know, if Iran continues, you know, doing everything they can, like the president of Iran has been saying that, you know, there was no Holocaust, and you know, they ought to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and of course that they ought to transplant Israel over to America, over to Europe. None of this makes sense unless the president of Iran is trying to invite an attack on his nation, which doesn't make sense, but then there are a lot of things in the world that don't make sense today. Do you have that feeling, Cheryl?
That's true. A lot of things don't make sense, and there's a lot of things going on that we really don't know about.
Amen to that. Well, we're going to be back in just a few moments with Cheryl Hancock, who works over there spreading the word of God. You know, she's a missionary in Israel. Does this on her own, supported by people like you and Mame, and we think what she's doing is a great job. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Cheryl.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working within organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest today is Cheryl Hancock, and we're talking really about what's going on over in Israel. And certainly, Cheryl, you know, are there other missionaries over there? Are you pretty well on your own?
Well, no, there's a lot of different missionaries doing different things, and we call ourselves volunteers over there, volunteer to help the people. And there's organizations that some work with, but, you know, there are so many areas that the organizations don't get to, so you have to go into the highways, the byways, and the fields and the villages to reach the people. And we are very short on people over there to do that. I work a lot by myself or with connections, and it's very difficult, but we need more workers out there in the field, that's true.
All right, fine. Now, how are you supported financially? How do you manage to get by over there?
Well, I'm supported by individuals. I just had to raise missionary support when I left. When I first went over to Israel 7 years ago, I was getting maybe $300 to $500 a month. And then it went up. And as a matter of fact, it went up so much that I'm able to cover my bills. I actually help a couple other missionaries over there that have very low support. And plus, I started with a friend of mine, well, a new believer. We started a ministry called Love Without Borders, and that's to bring food and clothing and medicine and vitamins to the people that we work with that are becoming believers over there. So the money spills over into the ministry, and that's what it's supposed to do. It's the Lord's money, and it goes for the Lord's work. So it all comes from Him, goes to Him.
Well, I think that, you know, it's an exciting thing. Of course, we always enjoy getting your emails. And for our listeners out there, when, you know, get on Cheryl's email list, and she'll keep you abreast on a regular basis of what's going on. Now, since she's been back in the States, she's been a little busy, but I know when she was over there, we were getting an email every, about a week, 10 days, something like that?
Yeah, it was about a week, 10 days, depending on what was happening over there and how often I sat at home and got to get one out. But there's so many things that happen, I have to tell people about it, and that's how the email started. And now it's just something that people need to hear, because you hear things that normally you don't hear on the news here in America. We get such little portions. But when I'm out there with the people, I see what's going on. And those are the things I write about and what the Lord's doing over there that you don't get to hear about over here.
All right. Well, when we get back, of course, we're going to get all of our stations on board. I want you to get your email address so people can get in contact with you and certainly get your emails on a regular basis. But what's really so exciting is there was something well over 23,000 Jews that returned to Israel this last year, weren't there? Something like that?
Yeah, there are so many this year. It says when I went onto the Internet and I was talking to some people, they were telling me that in 21 years, since 1984, this year in 2005...
Hold that thought right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and certainly our guest this afternoon is Cheryl Hancock, and she's over there in Israel, and she'll be going back again. She's been there for 7 years, and Cheryl is actually, working as a self-supported minister or missionary, but of course, if we can get her email out there or website. Do you have a website, Cheryl?
No, I don't have a website.
All right, fine. Well, do you want to get your email out in case people would like to get in touch with you and get on your email list?
Mm-hmm. My email address is grateful, GRATEFUL, at actcom, actcom.co.il.
Give that one more time.
Okay, it's grateful.
Grateful,
G-R-A-T-E-F-U-L at ACTCOM, ACTCOM.co.il.
All right, fine. And, of course, if you'd like to get to Cheryl's a website for that, then you can keep in touch with what's going on over there, because all sorts of things are happening that you're not going to hear about here. And really, if you study the history of the world, it all seems to center around Israel. It has really for many thousands of years, and especially since the time when our Savior was there. Israel has been pivotal to so much of what's going on. Now, certainly, as far as the Jews returning to the Holy Land, we talked about that just a minute ago, but do we have any idea how many now are coming back?
Well, there's been over 3 million that returned since 1948, but this year the most from North America has come back. It's a new phenomenon, they said, since 1984. Most North American Jews are starting to return to Israel, to immigrate over there. And I was able to interview one of them, and I asked her, why are you coming back? What is going on here? She said, it's time that we just come back and stand with our Jewish people. And they were all feeling the same way. So there's something new going on.
Now, are these Messianic Jews, or are these, religious Jews, or are they just Jews?
No, they're just Jews. Some are religious, some are secular. They're just all different kinds of Jews coming back. They just feel this pull that it's time for them to come back from America, from Canada, change their lifestyle. It's not easy to live in Israel. So it's very good that they're coming back.
And actually, some of these are even professional people who are just giving up their professions to go back because they're almost like they're being drawn back.
Right. Doctors, lawyers, you give up a lot of money to go there and live. And it's a very high cost of living. Gas is over $6 a gallon. Not easy.
And so it's almost as if they're being drawn back to Israel. And of course, if you believe the scriptures that we're told that the Jews will return to the Holy Land, why at this time in history is this happening? Do you have any ideas?
Well, I think we're getting close to the end. And whatever it says in the Bible prophecies, they are really beginning to be fulfilled. And we're not only seeing it in the Jews coming back, we're seeing it in archaeology and things that are being found. And all eyes are starting to be turned towards the Temple Mount area, to Jerusalem. If you notice that the Jewish people now are building the wall or fence that is actually separating the Palestinian areas from the Jewish areas. They haven't finished it in Jerusalem yet because they're going to be fighting over the Temple Mount area over Jerusalem. So the archaeologists are hard at work right now trying to prove that the Jews do have claim to the Temple Mount, that they were there, that there was a temple there. And I was actually able to be involved with the dig, and we found things to prove that the Babylonians came and took the Jews into captivity, that the Jews were on the Temple Mount. This is going to make a big difference. Proving the Bible to be true going to make a big difference in what happens with that wall and where it's going to be placed.
And I think it's really so interesting that the Arabs over there, they're digging out of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and they've almost collapsed the big wall next to it, and they've been digging all under the tunneling under the Temple Mount, just trying to find anything that might suggest the Jews had been there before. And then they're throwing it all down in the Kidron Valley, hoping to destroy all evidence that the Jews ever lived there in Jerusalem. And of course, there's no question they did. But, it is almost illogical. What is taking place doesn't make any sense unless perhaps these people are being drawn to do illogical things to fulfill God's plan. Did you ever have that thought?
Yeah, it seems that's what's going on right now. And a lot of eyes are blinded. We can't understand why people think the way they do, why they believe that there was no Holocaust when it's really, how can you say there wasn't? And all these things that they're proving, at least they are having the proof. And so when they say the lies, underneath this whole spirit, this whole thing that's going on is a father of lies. And when the lies start and people start believing it, there is a problem. So the Jews are proving these things to be so.
I'm sure it is. And I think these are exciting times to be over there. And of course, when you're on Carol's email list, you'll get information regularly. And how many emails are you sending out? Do you have any idea how many people are on your list?
Yeah, I'm getting close to 2,000 people on my list right now.
Of course, you just push a button and they put them all out. And we always look forward to getting Cheryl's emails when she's back there, and she's going to be going back in a couple of months and keep us abreast of what's going on. We'll be back here in just a moment with Cheryl Hancock talking about what's going on in Israel and, of course, truly exciting times to know the Lord. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Cheryl Hancock, and we're simply talking about what's going on over in the Holy Land. Now, what's happening in the Palestinian area? The Palestinian people, a lot of them are living in abject poverty, aren't they?
Yeah, it's true, and a lot of them are actually kept in poverty so that they will do favors, and it's really sad. I hang out with a lot of Palestinian people because a lot of them are coming to the Lord, and they tell me about their family members having to go and get food and clothing from either Hamas organization or the PA, but in order to get the food and clothing, they have to do favors for those organizations. So if there's no one else to help them, and the jobs are very scarce in the, underneath the Palestinian Authority, then they have to do these things. And a lot of them are forced.
Oh, and of course, when we've been over there, there were a lot of Palestinians that were, you know, living in the Palestinian area and were commuting back and forth into Israel where they could get a job. I know we stayed at a hotel there, it was an Arab hotel in Jerusalem, and all the people who worked there were Arabs, and of course, I'm sure they were Muslim as well. But a lot of them couldn't go home on a regular basis. They could only go home very rarely. It was difficult to get from Israel into Palestine. What's happening to those Palestinians who've been working in Israel? Are they able to get back and forth to see their families, or are they simply trapped on one side of the wall?
Well, actually, when everything's calm down there, the Israelis will let the Palestinians come in and go to their jobs in Israel proper. And they can go back and forth. But once there's an attack, those barriers, they close. The borders close down because they have to not let the people come in. They have to protect themselves against those kind of things. But so the people go, they flow very easily unless there's a problem. And then they are stuck. And I was stuck in Bethlehem one time. I went to visit a friend, and I came up to a checkpoint to leave, and soldiers came after me with guns. And I didn't know what was going on. I found out later that somebody came up to a checkpoint in Bethlehem and blew up 5 soldiers. And I couldn't get out for at least a few hours.
And I know it must be a little frightening at times because you know you're living in really a very violent area, and yet you have to really put your faith totally in the Lord, don't you?
Yeah. That's the only way to get by there, in the Lord and be in the Word. And, you know, if the Lord calls you over there, if you get a green light to go, even as a tourist, and I would say if anyone is thinking about going as a tourist, it's a great time to go. But you have to have a green light from the Lord, because if you're going to look behind your back the whole time you're there and be worried, you're not going to relax. I'm relaxed mainly most of the time that I'm there.
And, of course, basically, when you go over there as a tourist, believe me, why they guard you very carefully. You know, they're not going to take a chance that anything happens to you. Hold on. We'll be back here in just a moment with Cheryl Hancock. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Cheryl Hancock. And Cheryl, would you give out your email address one more time, just in case people would like to get in touch with you and know how to get in touch with your ministry?
Yeah, that address is Grateful, GRATEFUL, at ACTCOM, ACTCOM.co.il.
All right, fine. And now what about the church? Because actually you, of course, working through a church, aren't you? And don't people send their donations to the church?
Yeah, I am actually from a Calvary Chapel in Avila Beach, and the address there is P.O. Box 127, Avila, A, V as in Victor, I-L-A, Beach, 93424.
Give that address one more time.
Okay, it's P.O. Box 127, Avila Beach, California, 93424. And you can also get information about me through the pastor and the people there.
All right, fine. And, Chris, I mean, this is a real calling on your part. You've given up more or less everything to go over there, haven't you?
Yeah, I didn't think I'd be there this long, but you know, the more I'm there, the more entangled I get with the lives of the people. I come to love the people, and it's a part of me, they're a part of me, and I don't see myself coming back here to stay for very long.
Well, now, when you go into the Palestinian area, are you free to travel pretty much where you want to go?
Well, because I have press credentials, I get to go just about anywhere I want. I'm careful sometimes. Sometimes I'm not too careful, and I go into places because, you know, the focus is to get the word of God out there and get hope to the people, because eternal life is the most important thing. And if I have to risk my life a little bit, I will go into areas and take some material and take clothing and food to the people. But, yeah, I go into the Palestinian areas. I go into all the different areas.
And of course, most of the Palestinian people are just so terribly poor. What's the unemployment over there? Do you have any idea?
That's a good question. I don't know, but most of the people I know are unemployed. Yeah. And we are actually trying to help them by selling. They make olive oil soap and products. We're trying to help them with the marketing of that, and that's how they support their families.
I do, too. Actually, I get that on into Israel, where there's a better market for it. Can they sell that in the Palestinian area or what?
We get it into Israel, and then we get it to tourists that come, groups that come, or like now when I'm out speaking everywhere, I take soap everywhere I go, or one man's family makes baskets. So we just help them get it out, and then they have an address where people, if they want to reorder, they can get in touch with these people. We set them up to where they can learn to take care of themselves and their families, and they don't have to go to Hamas or the PA or anybody else for help. So they learn to become self-sufficient.
And really, it's difficult for people living in this country to understand what it would be like living in abject poverty. There's no safety net. There's no nothing. You've got to survive, and you've got to survive on your own. Now, what percentage of the Palestinian people are Christian?
That's a good
question. It would be about 10%, something like that?
Well, if you're talking about Orthodox Christian, maybe. I heard 2% of the population in Israel was Christian.
Now, I'm talking about Palestine, among the Palestinians, not necessarily among the Israelis.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that there's a lot of Orthodox Christians, but as far as born again, it's a very, very low percent.
Okay, and you're speaking now in the Palestinian population.
Pardon?
You're speaking in the Palestinian population.
Yeah. I mean, they're so low that the people that are working with each group.
All right, but I'm sure that they really appreciate you being there and of course helping them, because just by providing food and clothing and an opportunity to sell their wares, they can survive. And it's difficult to imagine the abject poverty that exists in so many parts of the world today. And had I not lived for a time in Africa and seen at least some glimpses of that, it would be difficult for me to identify with that. Now, what's the attitude of Palestinians towards the Christians, towards the Palestinian Christians? Are they sort of second-rate citizens?
Well, actually, if the Palestinians, if a person becomes a Christian that is a Muslim, Palestinians are mainly Muslim people, and then they're traitors, so they are looked down upon, of course, and some of them are killed, and some of them are tortured. I worked with a guy that was tortured and put in prison for 2 years for telling people about the Lord. And when they get out of the Palestinian areas where they can be safe, then they're living in a community among Arab Israelis who look at them as second-class citizens, or they're around Jewish people who don't trust them because they're Palestinians. So this group of people that have become born again, that were Palestinian Muslims, they have no one to really take care of them, to love them. And when the Christians come around them, even the tourists, come and pray for them and tell them we care for you, or write them letters or emails, it just makes makes such a difference. And I'm seeing so many of them come to the Lord. It's absolutely incredible, because they see the love of God.
And so you're working with both the Palestinians and the Israelis.
Right. I work with Jewish people, I work with Palestinian people, I work with Ethiopian people and Bedouin people.
And of course, are there quite a few of the Ethiopians there today?
Yes, as a matter of fact, a lot of the Ethiopians are coming to the Lord, too. I met a man, a pastor, he started a church in Haifa. He wasn't a pastor when he started, he became a believer. He started a church in Haifa. He then moved to Jerusalem and started another church. Now, I went to the church in Jerusalem, and the people are just on fire, all brand new, 1-2 years old in the Lord. And they want to go and start a church in Nazareth. They want to tell their people about the Lord.
Now, these are black people.
These are black people from Ethiopia.
Right. And of course, they came in, of course, as Jews, because, of course, traditionally there was a large Jewish population in Ethiopia. And my understanding is most of them have now returned to the Holy Land. Is that right?
That's true. Most of them have. The only ones that have not are the ones that have mixed with Christians. And the government, Israeli government, are thinking of bringing them over also, because, they want all the Jewish people back, but also they make the best soldiers in Israel, the Ethiopian people.
They really do.
Yeah.
All right, fine. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question for Cheryl, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we'd like to get Cheryl on just to keep us abreast of what's going on over there. This is really, in many respects, the center of everything going on in the world today. And, you know, just this one little area, this one little country, Israel, you know, is certainly a key player in this whole unfolding world drama that's taking place today. And you have the entire Muslim world aligned against this one little country. And, of course, Israel has given up about 95% of the land that it one time held, always in the name of, well, land for peace. And they keep up giving up land, and they get less peace. So you wonder why they would have done this, why they would have given up Gaza. So much of what's going on in the world today just doesn't make sense. Why do you think that they gave up Gaza?
Well, I don't know if they were just trying to appease the America and the European Union and show that even if they do give up that land, that there is not going to be any change. So, you know, nobody knows the real reason, but we see different reasons on top of that.
Well, I really think that it's so important that people understand that so much of what's going on doesn't make sense. But God has a plan, and Lucifer has a plan, and the Zionists have a plan, and the communists have a plan. There are all these plans being played out over there. Now, certainly, what's happened to the people? There were, what, about 8,000 of them that were forced to leave their homes in Gaza? Have they ever been compensated? I mean, these were people who had been there. The families had been there for 50 years, and they had beautiful greenhouses, beautiful homes. They were prosperous. And then they're forced to leave everything and move back to Israel. And then what? And you know, many of them were simply forced out, or dragged out, or forced out at bayonet point, and forced out. And then, of course, all the land was given to the Palestinians. My understanding is that, you know, everything's gone to chaos since they left.
Yeah, that's true. I went to visit a community of people. There was probably about 150 people that lived together in the Gaza area, and now they're in the desert and they live under a tin roof. And it's a communal area where they have washer and dryer for everybody, bathrooms for everybody, a communal dining area, and they're waiting for housing to be built for them.
But now, these are Israelis.
These were Jewish, yeah, Israelis that had to leave Gaza Strip. And I talked to the leader there, and he said, you know, the good thing is, this is called the City of Faith. We have faith in God that He's going to keep us together as a community, and He will take care of us. We are the Jewish people, and we will bounce back.
All right, so they basically, they're living now. You mentioned they're in the desert. What whereabouts are they?
They're near Ashkelon, between Ashkelon and Beersheba, near the Negev.
All right. Now, what about the people who, because most of them have moved back to Israel, is there any housing for them? Is there any jobs for them? The 8,000 that's been forced to return?
Well, some were still in hotels when I left in November, and they decided to leave them in the hotels through the holidays. You know, they have Hanukkah actually going on right now, and it's very difficult because they don't have a place to go. Some have been taken care of, some were given compensation, and some are still waiting for that. And they're building houses for them, but they're not like the houses they had. And so it's very difficult for them.
What are the jobs for them? I mean, how do you support your family? If you had the greenhouses over there, you were productive, and suddenly you're uprooted and you have nothing left.
Right. They had to start their whole lives over again. And they say, now see, we proved a point that even though we gave up that land, we felt that God wanted us to keep that land, it didn't make any difference. Now they're shooting missiles farther into Israel.
Well, so much of what goes on over there in Israel doesn't make sense, and yet, unless you realize that it's part of a much bigger scheme. So what do you think is going to happen? Do you have any thoughts at all?
Well, I know things are getting better as far as with the Christian and the Jewish. The Jewish people are seeing that the believers, the Christians, are actually their friends. And the evangelicals is what they're saying. Now, the evangelicals are our friends. They're the ones helping us. And there actually was in the Knesset, there's a Christian Allies Caucus, that a committee that was formed, and that's so that the understanding and the friendship with the Christian and Jews can develop. So that's developing right now. It's good news. It's something that needs to happen. They need to see that they have some friends. If everyone in the world turns their backs on the Jewish people, who's going to stand with the Jewish people? And in the Bible it says, I will bless those who bless you, speaking of Israel, and I will curse those who curse you. So we're going to stand, us evangelical Christians are standing with the Jews at this time, and they see it. They see us as their friends.
Well, I think that's really the only friends that they have in the world today are the Christians.
Right. But also, we're not turning our back on the Palestinian people because, you know, God said, for whosoever. And God is for all the Palestinian people, no matter who they are. He loves everyone. And that's the point we try to get across. We love the people. We don't like what's going on. but we love the people. That's why I go to the Palestinian people. And these people need prayer. The Palestinians and the Jewish people, they all need prayer. They need the Lord.
Well, of course, certainly there's been this animosity between the Arab and the Jew going back to, you know, the time of, certainly of Isaac and Ishmael. Sure. Isaac and Ishmael. And we got Tony calling from Arkansas. Hi, Tony. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. Doctor, thank you again for your show. God bless you. Just wanted to say that definite prayers and blessing also to the missionary. God bless you for the sacrifices you make. We had some Christian friends that have gone over to Israel during different visits over there, trying to see the Holy Land, the Wailing Wall. But I had heard there's what we heard back was that there was it's very frowned upon to try to proselytize Christians, trying to proselytize Jews over there, and some have even been put in jail for that. Could you maybe give me what you see over there?
Yeah, if I talk to anyone under 18 about the Lord, I can be put in jail.
Wow.
So I have to be careful who I talk to. And normally what I do is I build relationships with the people, because you do come to love the people there. And as they see you live the life of the Lord, you never hide your light, of course. You always tell them that you're a believer and you have a relationship with the Lord. And they begin asking you about that because they see how you live your lifestyle. So it depends on what situation, which area I go to. To the Palestinians, I'll leave tracts, I'll leave Bibles. But when I go to a Jewish community, I live on a moshav in a country community with 80 Jewish families, and I don't take tracts or Bibles to them, but I live the life that I'm supposed to, as it says in the Word, and they've come to me and asked me about the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God bless you again, continuing your ministry, and just thank you. I just wanted a little information on that. And if someone did want to, say, go over to Israel, is it best just to contact maybe Calvary Chapel churches? Are they more familiar with that? Or?
Yeah, Calvary Chapel has groups that go over. There's many different groups that go over in different churches. It depends if you want to go on a tour, and sometimes you get free days. But yeah, get in touch with your church, and they can probably give you some information.
We appreciate that. And again, God bless you and your ministry. Thank you so much for what you do.
Thanks very much, Tony. Bye-bye. God bless. All right, fine. And we have time for one or two more calls. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And our guest is Cheryl Hancock. And we're talking about her mission over there in the Holy Land. And I really believe that in the coming months, it's going to become increasingly difficult over there. I mean, I really feel that we are very, very close to a war with Syria. What are the thoughts, talking to the people there about certainly the difficulty as far as Syria is concerned, the assassination of the former Prime Minister, Mr. Harari, and we see the programs over here. Certainly 60 Minutes last Sunday had a program on that was totally designed to manipulate the American people, I believe, into a willingness to go to war with Syria. What is the your feeling about the possibility of war with Syria?
Yeah, I didn't get to see that, but Syria is wanting the Golan Heights, so that's going to be in the picture in the near future also. I don't know if you heard about Saudi Arabia on their state-run TV, what a cleric had said, and his comment was, "We ask Allah to strengthen the souls of the jihad fighters in Iraq and Palestine, which is Israel, to help them against their enemies, the Jews and the Christians." And he said this is a legitimate holy war in the name of Allah. So here we have Saudi Arabia saying this. We have Iran, the president of Iran, saying what he is. Syria saying they want the Golan Heights. And so they've got trouble on every side.
And more so probably than we've had in a long time. Let's call it Dave calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Dave. How
are
you doing?
Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
I just, I'd have to call today.
it's good to hear from you.
Thank you. I just was wondering if your guest had any comment about how she's seen tourism recover in the last several years over there. I read a report the other day from Zola Levitt that said tourism is back to the pre-9/11 times. Do you think that's true?
Well, if it's not, it's very close. When I left Israel, especially during the summertime, it's so hard to drive around in Jerusalem now.
Yeah.
And it's because of all the tourist buses and the people, and no tourists are being hurt. Both the Palestinians and the Jews want the tourist people there. They want them to come and spend their money. A lot of people make money. They work in hotels and restaurants and
right.
shops. So, yes, you're right. The tourism is up, and people are happy.
I think it's unfortunate that many of our modern day churches today don't put any kind of emphasis on that kind of trip, because every time that we've been there, and Stan can attest to it, we've seen nothing but safety in every corner.
That's right. They're going to take care of the tourists, and I think we all, everyone should go there at least once in their lifetime.
I appreciate your being on the program today. Thanks, Stan.
All right, thank you. And it's, I look back with great and very fond memories to the trips we took together over there, Dave.
That was great. I think about it every day.
God bless. We'll talk to you shortly. Bye-bye. And we're going to be back in just a moment here with Cheryl Hancock talking about certainly what's going on, about her ministry there. Cheryl, give your telephone number, or pardon me, your email out one more time in case people want to get in touch with you.
Okay, that's grateful, G-R-A-T-E-F-U-L, at actcom.co.il.
All right, fine. And certainly we think it's wonderful to have Cheryl over there keeping us abreast of what's really going on. Well, Cheryl, we've got about three more minutes before we have to let you go, so why don't you sort of share your thoughts and the message you'd like to leave with our listeners, not only here in the Monterey Bay area, but out across America.
Okay, well, first of all, I have to tell you a light subject here. So a lot of people believe in the Western Wailing Wall is where people go, and of course, they put in prayers. They pray to the Lord, Jews and Gentiles alike. And there were so many letters that came to the post office in Israel that the post office took these millions of letters, these prayers, and they put them in the walls, the cracks of the wall. So to me, that shows that lots of people are reaching up to the Lord. They don't know how to reach Him, so it's up to us to tell them, but they are reaching up. And then also, I found out that today they had 49 warnings of terror attacks in Israel by the Palestinians. So what we need to be doing is praying for the people there, praying for their salvation, and praying for their protection, and praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
Well, of course, the only thing that is ever going to solve the animosity between the Muslim and the Christian is Christianity. And this is why we should, instead of attacking the Muslims, we have to try to win them around. I always say that we have all these prisoners down in Guantanamo. Instead of, you know, keeping them in chains and blindfolding them and mistreating them, why, we ought to give them a Bible and treat them nicely. We would certainly win a lot more of them to the Lord and get them to give up their terrorist ways that way, wouldn't we, Cheryl?
Well, that's right. When the Lord comes to live in their heart, you see the change in the people. And even the Israeli government asked people to come and go mosque to mosque and tell the people about the Lord. And you know what? There would be a peace over there when Jesus lives in their hearts.
And, of course, this is really the solution. And, of course, Cheryl is working not only with the Israeli people. She's working with the Palestinians, and she's on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the hearts of men over there, and certainly for the hearts of women, because if you're a woman living over there, you know, in a Muslim family, why, oh, you're sort of a second-class citizen, aren't you?
Yeah, well, actually, the woman waits for the man to become a believer before she does, but we talk to all of them and plant the seeds and water those seeds, but when the husband becomes a believer, it seems like the rest of the family does.
And we certainly congratulate you for your willingness to go over there. And of course, you know, you're actually go in and you help these people, the people living in abject poverty. And even some of those old refugee camps are open over there by Jericho, aren't they?
Yes, and a friend of mine is living in one right now, and she's handing out big bags of rice with tracts in there, and she's very much welcomed, and people are coming to the Lord in the refugee camps.
Well, these are exciting times, and I'm sort of looking forward to when you get back over there, and you'll be sending us the regular emails, letting us know what's going on. Well, our guest has been Cheryl Hancock, and it's always a privilege and pleasure to have her here on Radio Liberty, and we certainly agree totally and support what she's doing. God bless you, Cheryl.
God bless you, and thank you so much again.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly our guest has been Cheryl Hancock. And if you want to know more about her or get the address where you might be able to help there at the church, Calvary Chapel, that is a sponsor, why, you can call us here at Radio Liberty at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And behind everything that is going on today is this eternal spiritual struggle, and of course it's being played out between the Muslims and the Christians, but everybody is being manipulated, and this is the terrible tragedy of our time. And if you haven't read my book Brotherhood of Darkness or Ted Flynn's wonderful book the hope of the wicked. You really need to understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And so if you'd like to get either my book, and you can get it by itself, or with a video, or you can get it with a audio tape, or you can get all three of them together for $29.95. And certainly, if you got them independently, well, they'd be a lot more than that, but you get the book, the video, and the audio tape. And then, of course, we hope that you'll make copies of the video and make copies of the audio tape and help us get that information out across America. To really understand that there are many organizations, there are many secret organizations, and they work within the shadows, and they are the Rosicrucians and the Theosophists. And here in America, we have between 2,000 members of the Masonry, and with their families, about 10 million. And these are people who worship a different God, whether they know it or not. They've sworn to an oath to the great architect of the universe, who is not the God of the Bible. So if you'd like to get my books, or more information about our ministry, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you will go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs there on the Internet 5 hours a day, on the American Freedom Network, on the Genesis Network, on the Radio Liberty Network. And, of course, you can actually get our programs on the Republic Network as well, Republican Broadcasting. So we do hope that you'll tell others about our programs. You'll pull down our newsletters and copy them. If you'd like a free newsletter, perhaps talking about why the price of electricity and natural gas and heating oil and gasoline and diesel are going up, you'll want to get our newsletter called Peak Oil 2. You can find it on the Internet. I believe that is probably the November newsletter, or October or November, maybe the October newsletter. September newsletter. So if you would like to get that, give us a call. And if you haven't gotten something from us recently, why, we'd be glad to send it to you. Either the September or the October newsletter. They both deal with the skyrocketing cost of energy in America, which is all contrived. And then, of course, if you'd like to understand what's going on in Iraq, our newsletter, Deja Vu in Iraq, we'd be glad to send it to you. If you can't get it off the Internet, at RadioLiberty.com. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you remember that we do carry the Berkey products. And of course, if you would like to get either Big Berkey or Berkey Light through Radio Liberty, well, you'll get a free 4-tape set or video that we produced. And I will tell you that in the uncertain times that we're moving into, you want to begin making preparations, and one thing you need to have is a means by which you can have drinkable water. You can get by without food for a few days. You can't get by without water, which is why we carry the Berkey products. That, and we have an awful lot of happy people who've gotten them through us. So again, if you would like to get in touch with our ministry, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival, because if America doesn't turn back to God, is there any reason why, at this time in history, America should redeem our nation or not allow it to be destroyed? Because all through history, when a nation has turned against God, God has withdrawn his protection from that nation. And then lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. And so until next year, when we're with you, may the Lord be with you.